I had pretty much an ideal Christmas. I went to Bethel for their Christmas program. Angels, wise men, Mary. The church was totally decorated. It was beautiful. It's actually full. It's normally not full. It was full. Singing was glorious. Kids dressed up as magi. Adults helping too. Beautiful manger. Beautiful Christmas carols. And the next day, Christmas Day service also. And then the next day, I was with Colleen's family, all gathered for Christmas. Food you couldn't possibly eat at all. Stuff you wouldn't normally eat. It was just awesome. And killer desserts, of course. Presents exchanged. And then we're down to the bonbons, you know, opening those things and reading out the jokes, the sick jokes. And then the quizzes. And then my phone rang. It was a number I didn't recognize. I left the room, went to another room, and it was a doctor from the Royal Adelaide Hospital. My son is in the mental health ward. My world just sort of went, I felt like I was in a bubble. Everyone was talking and laughing around me, and I'm lost in my bubble of my imaginations, right? Your imaginations are always worse than the truth, but anyway, my imaginations. I suddenly had Christmas in the real world. And maybe you've had Christmas in the real world, trying to negotiate with relatives who don't normally get on, trying to all get them in one place at one time, trying to get the meal, you know, and it's an overwhelming, there's so many things you have to do for this meal, it has to be so over the top and the decoration, you know. You put all this pressure on yourself, or maybe there are people who are sick, maybe you've just heard sicknesses, or you receive presents that you really didn't need or want. Oh, thank you, Aunt Martha. Yes. And maybe you've given presents that you realize that they didn't really want. Maybe your finances are shot right now. Maybe you have friends and relatives who've been affected by fires and storms lately. And then there's the bigger real world. So that's our small real world. Then there's the bigger real world. We've got Trump who's trying to upset the food basket and doing a relatively good job at it. And Putin, who, you know, if you disagree with him, you get poison tea or you fall out of a window. Netanyahu, who seems to be unstoppable. Hamas, who seems just as bad. Then there's the Christmas market in Magdeburg, Germany. 5 murdered and 200 injured as someone tried to mow people down. And our own local financial crises and drought and fire. Jesus was born into the real world. We're born into the real world, not our, you know, it's like this honey glow Christmas. It looks like a Christmas card. It didn't look like a Christmas card. You know, the stable stank. It wasn't clean like we imagine. And shortly after Jesus was born, when Archelaus was king, there was a protest in Jerusalem, and his soldiers killed 3,000 people in front of the temple. Blood all through the temple. So, God speaks to magi. Magi were kind of like sorcerers into casting horoscopes, poisons. You know, every king wanted to have a magi who could advise him, like President Reagan had a fortune teller to advise him. So you needed that guy who could actually poison your enemies if you needed. They were into all the dark arts. And yet, God breaks into their world. He talks to them in a way that they understand as he puts a special star in the sky. Did anyone else on planet Earth see that star? Maybe it was only for them. Anyway, he talks to them in their world. And so they make the long journey. It would have taken them months to get to Jerusalem to find the baby born to be king of the Jews. They go to the palace. I mean, where else would you go? They go to the palace to see the baby. And ask King Herod, where is the baby born to be king of the Jews? Herod slyly says, oh, go and search diligently for the child. And when you find him, bring me word so that I may go and worship him. Yeah, honey dripping, isn't he? The magi go to Bethlehem and fall on their knees and worship the newborn Savior. and bring their gifts of frankincense, gold and myrrh, incredibly expensive, incredibly expensive. And they encourage Mary and Joseph. Imagine, by now, it's been a long time since they heard from angels. By now, they're wondering, did I really see an angel? Is this really, you know, life's been boring since then. In fact, it's been a mess since then. They had to travel. They're uncertain, and suddenly the wise men come, reaffirming what they'd heard, that this was the Savior of the world, and bringing their precious gifts. But then they receive a warning and a dream not to return to Herod, so they left for their own country by another road. And Herod, well, you know, he's a paranoid dictator, like Putin. You know, the people who fall out of windows and drink poison tea or touch doorknobs that have new radioactive stuff on it. So when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boy babies in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were under 2 years and under. This is kind of typical of Herod. He killed most of his own children, most of his wives. Caesar Augustus said, I'll try and do this as a Greek joke, but I'll try and get help you to understand it. Caesar Augustus said, I'd rather be Herod's pig, that's hous in Greek, than Herod's son, huios in Greek. The two words sound the same. That's because Herod's supposed to be Jewish. He doesn't eat pigs. He kills sons. So I'd rather be his pig. You'd be safer being his pig than being his son. It only took an hour for the soldiers to get from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They come in kicking down doors, shoving into hovels, into houses. Women are screaming. Unarmed fathers are trying to protect their wife and their children. Women are screaming. And, of course, there's collateral damage. It wasn't just the babies that were killed. Blood in the streets of Bethlehem. It destroys our cherished picture, you know, our Christmas card view of Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. No, they're screaming. Silent night, holy night, all is calm. No, it's not calm. This is actually maybe a year and a half after Jesus was born. Jesus was born into the real world, the same sort of real world that we live in. The Romans had conquered Jerusalem, had conquered Israel. They were conquered people. That's why Archelaus could kill 3,000. He wouldn't have gotten into trouble for doing that. They're only peasants. They're only conquered people. If you played up, you could be crucified. And their sport, their national sport, was gladiators. And we think, oh, how? And yet you watch on telly these people being murdered. How are we so much better than they were? Jesus had come to the real world, our world. The people who were crucified on each side of Jesus were not thieves. They did not sneak into houses at night. They were rebels. They were terrorists trying to overthrow the Roman government. And so was Barabbas, a terrorist. Any God who's not willing to go to Bethlehem can't do you any good. Any God who's not willing to go to Bethlehem and what happened there can't do you any good. God is with us. If God was only with us in the old times, in the good times, what use would it be? We need a God who's with us in the bad times, in the dark times, in the times of grief, the times of loss and fear. Joseph had planned to stay in Bethlehem now that he's here, right? He's a businessman. He's got his carpentry business. He has contracts. He's been there a year and a half. He's gathered tools again. He lost them when he left Nazareth, but now he's got tools again. He's got contracts and jobs underway. And then he has a dream. Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Flee, run away. This is God's protecting hand. They have to leave in the middle of the night. They have to be quiet so the neighbors don't hear them. Most of the houses would have had walls that were touching. So, you know, you don't want everyone waking up in the night when you're sneaking away. What can they take with them? They can't take an animal, it might make a noise, so I have to go on foot. How much can you carry realistically? You've got the baby to carry. What else can you carry? They can't tell anyone, look after the dog when we're gone. They can't say that. And they can't even travel on the roads because the soldiers will be searching. They actually have to go through the bush. They become a refugee. It's estimated at the time there were about 1 million Jewish refugees in Alexandria, the capital of Jerusalem at that time, of Egypt at that time, all getting away from Herod. And the Egyptians hated foreigners. They hated foreigners. Everybody wanted to come to their lush land, and they wanted to keep people out. And yet they've got 1 million Jews there. Jesus becomes a wog, an unwelcome refugee. Of course, we've got our unwelcome refugees today too, don't we? We think, oh, if Mary and Joseph and Jesus came to our country, we would have just taken them. And you know they wouldn't. Would have sent him right back where he came from. Or to some third country, you know, that, I don't know, some other country that might take them rather than us. Yeah, well, they became refugees. We're not innocent. Like Herod, we hurt other people. We wreck other people's Christmases sometimes. Jesus has come to the real world, our world of sin, and he's come for you, and he's come to forgive you. Joseph's life has become like a roller coaster. This is not his plan. His original plan was to stay in Bethlehem and keep his business. Lost that, Nazareth and keep his business. Lost that, had to come to Bethlehem. Now he's set up again, and now he's gone again. Lost everything, and now he's saddled with this illegitimate child that he's supposed to look after, and he's now become a refugee. His whole world, topsy-turvy. God rescues the Savior, but only so he could die again. It's too young. He needs to preach. He needs to he needs to heal. He needs to die for us. He needs to come alive again. This is the wrong time to die. Mary and Joseph lost everything, but they had the baby. They lost everything else, but they had the baby. You know, every gift that you receive, it's either going to break, get old-fashioned, wear out. It's the nature of presents, isn't it? This is the one gift that lasts. They had the real Christmas. They had the baby. They had the Savior. They had the hope of forgiveness. They had the promise of life forever. What are they going to do for food? How are they going to travel if they go away with nothing? When I used to travel from Washington, D.C. to New York City for university, my father would give me traveling money in case I needed anything. Food on the train, taxi, whatever. God gave Mary and Joseph traveling money. Those gifts that the wise men gave them, frankincense, gold, and myrrh, were incredibly expensive things. The gold was not the most valuable. Frankincense and myrrh would have been much more expensive than gold. They had all this stuff that they could turn into cash as they were traveling. They didn't understand. The wise men probably didn't know why they were giving it, and Mary and Joseph didn't know why they would need it. But this is how they could survive. I had the less than ideal Christmas, not the one I planned. It was glorious in many ways, but not the one I had planned. But God was still there for me. What will 2025 bring us? Probably rough times. We've got people who want to make the world rough, Trump and Putin. And there'll be trade wars, financial crises. Some people's money is going to start crashing. But we have Emmanuel. God is with us no matter what happens. God is with us. And so Paul could say, we have complete victory through Jesus Christ who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life. Neither the present nor the future. There's nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is ours in Christ Jesus. We celebrate Christmas in the New World. Maybe you received disturbing news around Christmas. But we still have the baby. That's the real deal. It's not that cooking. It's not the dessert. It's not the presents. It's the baby that's the real deal. Whatever 2025 brings, whatever challenges, Jesus comes with you into our world. Jesus will be with us throughout 2025 to support, guide, and forgive. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus.